stars will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart sings, I am free. I am free. And I am free to rise.
I am free to rise.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Through you the kingdom comes. Through you the battle's won.
Just a moment. We're glad you're with us. We say it every week and we mean it. You're not here by mistake. You're here by design. God has a reason for you being here today, and we're glad you're joining us with us. It's a great day. Pastor Paul speaks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. It's just a great day. Just a couple of announcements that we want to bring before you. August 3rd, Sunday, August 3rd, we're having some people call it a baby dedication. We don't call it that. We call it a family dedication because we dedicate the family unit as a little one is growing up, to dedicate the family to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So that's August 3rd. So if you're interested, if you have a little one that hasn't been dedicated here and you want the family dedication, please see Pastor Paul or myself. Also, next week, the men have a trap shoot going on. They kill little traps. I don't know how they barbecue up, but come anyway and find out. And they shoot the traps. There's a sign-up out here. Mike Strong will be out there. They have all the kind of things that go on. And that's next Saturday. So sign up and get information, men, for the trap shoot out there as well. But tonight is our family reunion. It's our gathering. Now take out your phone, your whatever you use. Write this down, 27333. 27333.
Take a picture of it.
Yeah, take a picture of it. Whatever you want. Yeah, or me. Here. Should we do a selfie or something? You know? Yeah, there you go. Because tonight we have the reunion with our Tracy campus. We'll be at the Bars House. They're swimming. The kids can swim. You can swim. It's a great time. There's a kids area. We're just hanging out, eating, bringing a side dish for six, and we're providing the rest of it. Bring a lawn chair. I would bring a lawn chair just in case.
For sure.
But we'll have a great night tonight from 6 to 8 o'clock, just really a family time. There's no program as such, just hanging out, eating, having a good time. So I encourage you to be there tonight from 6 to 8. Now listen, I want you in just a moment to stand, and you're not just going to greet somebody. You're going to meet somebody. I was sharing in the first service that oftentimes we hear this over and over, that they think, well, in fact, I've been asked, are you guys a cult? Because people come in and they're welcomed. So, you know, it's like overboard, and it's like, well, oh man, what do they want? Watch my wallet, my social security number, my MasterCard. You better watch all this stuff.
Yes.
But we will take it. I mean, that's, you know, that's okay. But it's not. The point is, don't just greet somebody. Meet somebody. Get their name. Tell them, welcome to Grace. We love having you. So stand up, give somebody a hug, and say, welcome to Grace this morning. Oh, 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 oh
and gentlemen, go ahead and make your way back to your seats. Please remain standing. We'll continue in worship this morning singing Rooftops. I think all of us need to come to a place in our life when we realize how much we need God. And some of us get it by information or revelation, and some of us get it by tribulation or devastation. It's my prayer that if you don't know Jesus, if you don't understand your need for Him, that you would, by somehow, some way of information or revelation, understand your need for Him every single day.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord,
Stars, you are dismissed to the back.
In this world, in our everyday life, we start to get busy, and we get busy and busy, and pretty soon we get self-absorbed, and then we're just pushing and pushing, and we feel so empty, and we can't figure out because we've just totally forgot what's going to fill that void. And so we try harder to fill it ourselves, and it's not going to work. And waiting in that emptiness is God. And He's the only thing that is perfect and righteous and so full of love. And that's the only thing that can fill that for us. And He loves us so much that He gave His life so we could have that fulfillment from Him. He gave His life in a beautiful exchange.
Mercy fought for my attention. You were waiting at the door. Then I let you in. Training your life. Redemption, you carried all the blame, breaking the curse of our condition, perfection to God's grace. When only
oh. Jesus, your name is breath, power, and living water. That's a phrase from the next song we're going to sing. I started thinking about this week while we were preparing for Sunday, and I want to read you guys a few scriptures. There's so many in the Bible that talk about crying out to God or calling upon his name, and I just want to read you guys a few this morning. The first one's from Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things. Romans 10:13. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Psalm 18:16. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. I don't know where you're at this morning, these last few months. Boy, I have cried out to God. Cried out to God. Called upon his name. And if I have learned anything, the name of Jesus is power. And I have been rescued, restored, and healed. And I know that every one of us in here has a story this morning that we could spend hours sharing with each other. But I want you guys to think about this as we sing this next song. The name of Jesus is breath, living water, and power. When we have no breath, when we have nothing left in us to get out of bed in the morning and we're like, I cannot do it. The name of Jesus, we just call upon it and we are redeemed and restored. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God, the pain, the joys, whatever it is, Father God, that you'd meet us in this place, that you'd open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to hear your word. I just pray to you, Father God, that you hear us. You hear every cry, every request. Jesus, thank you so much for saving us, for redeeming us, for being that God of rescue. Go before us, Father God, in your name.
Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Buenos dias, amigo. ¿Cómo está?
Muy bien. ¿Y tú?
Sí. Muy bien. Gracias.
Okay. Hola, buenos dias. I think first service was more awake.
I think they were.
Okay. Bueno, vámonos al resumen del servicio. Hoy terminamos nuestra serie en la armadura de Dios. Y terminamos con las dos últimas piezas, que son el casco de la salvación y la espada del Espíritu. El casco de la salvación fue diseñado para proteger a las mentes de los creyentes contra los ataques de Satanás y para mantener nuestras mentes firmemente fijas en las cosas del Señor. Y la espada del Espíritu es la única arma dada por Dios para hacer guerra contra Satanás. Entonces, como creyentes, tenemos que ponernos todas estas piezas de la armadura de Dios y avanzar hacia adelante en este camino que es estrecho y muy difícil, pero que se dirige a una eternidad con Dios. Entonces, por último, quiero dejarlos con esto. Manténganse firmes, avancen hacia adelante, y tomando cada paso en fe y en aseguranza en Dios.
Gracias, amigo. Thanks. Cool. We appreciate so much what Gustavo does. Many of you who've been here understand that. We have many that come to the church that have English as a second language, and while I don't speak quite as fast as Pastor Bill, it's always good to just have kind of a brief outline of what we're going to be going over today in Spanish for them. And I didn't really realize what harm I was doing to poor Gustavo, because until I saw what Pastor Bill gives Gustavo. Now, Pastor Bill gives Gustavo like three sentences.
I give Gustavo like 3/4 of a page. And so today, just a couple sentences, and he did fantastic. So thank you so much for that. So this last couple weeks, we've been looking at the armor of God and really unpacking it and giving life and spiritual application with it. So today we're going to be looking at two pieces. We're going to be looking at the helmet of salvation, and we're going to be looking at the sword of the Spirit. As we've gone through this series, we end a series within a series. Now, we've been talking about the book of Ephesians. That is not ending, but today we'll be looking at the final two pieces of the armor of God. I mean, if you really think about it, the armor of God can be broken into three distinct divisions, one being the graces of truth, righteousness, and preparedness. And while they're given to us by God true, they're exercises of our own power. We stand on God's truth. We use preparedness to go out and to give the gospel. And then standing alone in the middle is faith. And faith is kind of the root of the three preceding pieces. But it's also by faith is the hand by which we grab hold of the final two pieces, which are God's gifts, pure and simple, salvation and the word of God. So let's talk for a minute about the helmet of salvation. Now, a helmet is designed to protect your head or your mind or your brain, right? And so the helmet of salvation is designed to protect a believer's mind. Now, salvation is a pretty important piece. So it kind of makes sense that the salvational piece would be the helmet to put on, because most of us would say our mind is what we want to protect most. Our mind is what we want to protect most. But hear me out when I say this. No piece bears any more weight than another. They're all important, okay? So you might be thinking to yourself, well, salvation, Paul, what do you mean? Like, salvation is the most important piece, but there's no salvation without faith and without understanding the truth of God's word. It's not there. So they're all important. That's why he says to put them all on. They're all crucial in the life of a believer. So let me tell you a story, because I love to tell stories. I grew up in San Jose now, and there's hills in San Jose. Here, you guys don't got no hills. You got like a little molehill, but no, there are hills in San Jose, like, and so there was this hill next to my house. It was about a mile away, and I used to like to ride my bike up the hill and then ride it down. Really, I'd ride up halfway, and I'd huff and puff for the next about quarter way. Do you guys know what huff and puff is? You know what huff and puff is? It's when you stand up on your bike, and you do this. So you'd huff and puff, and then I'd have to get off and walk the rest of the way. Now, we were broke. I didn't have a mountain bike that could change gears into the little gears so I could move my, you know, legs all fast and go, you know, a mile an hour. I had to get off and walk it. And so you'd get to the top, and so I'd ride down this thing. No helmet, no arm elbow pads, no knee pads, just go. Now, back in the day, we had things, they come now on only children's bikes, I believe, but they had something called coaster brakes. You guys remember what those were? Okay, coaster brakes, for those of you who don't know, if you're looking at me like, coaster brake is where you take your pedal and you push it backwards to stop the bike. Like, hand brakes were like, you know, you were big time if you had hand brakes, so most of us had coaster brakes, and I had a Huffy, and Huffies came with coaster brakes. So I decided I really wanted to be cool, you know, because I saw these guys with cool BMX bikes, and mine had this big old clunky chain guard on it. So I told my brother, can you take the chain guard off for me? And he's like, yeah, no problem. Couple screws, chain guard comes right off. Sweet. So I ride up, huff and puff for another, and then walk my bike up to the top, and I'm sitting at the top of the hill, okay? And I decided to give myself some protection that day. So I wore pants. Just in case I fell, you know. I had enough, you know, not leather chaps, pants. So how I normally did it was I'd pedal as fast as I could, because there's no freewheel. That means when the bike keeps going, the pedals just keep going. So you'd get to a point where your feet can't go fast enough, and so you just kind of let off like this and just coast. So you'd pedal for a quarter of the way, you'd coast for another way till you're about halfway, and then you'd start engaging the coaster brakes as much as you could to try to get the bike to stop. So I'm going. I'm not even a quarter of the way, and my pant leg gets caught in the crank because I'd taken off the chain guard. So the chain ate my pant leg, and it completely froze up my pedals. So I went to try to push back to engage my coaster brake. No coaster brake. So how many of you know San Jose pretty well? No? A couple of you guys in here? You know Capitol Expressway? Okay, this hill went on to Capitol Expressway. So So I'm thinking to myself, Capitol Expressway is an expressway with three lanes on either side. The speed limit's 50 miles an hour. People go about 90 on it. So I'm thinking to myself, I could maybe like ride out and get into the traffic and go. Okay? Let me tell you, you're thinking, are you crazy? I was seven. It was before third grade, so I was seven. I'm thinking, okay, that probably isn't going to go. I could just dive and just abandon the bike, abandon all hope, just dive onto the grass. I somehow make it up onto the sidewalk. I don't even remember how I made it up on the sidewalk. And you ever have the bike go so fast that it starts to wobble? Because it's going faster than it was meant to go? That's what it was doing. Wobble, 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 wobble. So I thought, I'm just going to jump. So I see this lawn. I'm like, ah! One thing that I forgot. I'm still connected to the bike. I land on the grass, and the bike lands on top of me. Boom! And then we roll. Blah, 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 blah. And I stop probably within 3 feet of a tree. If I had hit that tree going fast, without a helmet, without any protection, I'd be a changed man probably, and not in a good way. But we get that way sometimes. I remember thinking when I was growing up, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, that I was going to be the only one that didn't die. I really thought that. I was going to live forever. I'm like, man, all these people talking about dying, I am going to be the one that lives forever. This is going to be amazing. I truly believe that. And I think some of us believe that too, which is why we have to have laws so we will protect ourselves, right? Like a seatbelt law. I remember when I was like 7 years old, you know, we lived in San Jose. My grandparents lived in Twainhart. You guys know where that is? It's right past Sonora. And I'd be in the back of my uncle's truck. It had a camper shell on it, but we'd be back there with sleeping bags and cards and playing cards and all of us hanging out in the back of this truck while we drive 3.5 hours to get to where we're going. Completely unsafe. Thank goodness nothing happened. Or I'd always take the middle seat in the car because I wanted to stick my head through and talk to my parents. No seatbelt. I mean, I'd climb in front to back, all over the place. No seatbelts. But somebody had to step in and go, hey, you need to be safe. So we're gonna make this law so where if you don't wear your seatbelt, you're gonna have to pay some money. Same thing with guys riding motorcycles. They're like, yeah, I love to ride motorcycles, no helmet, yeah. And then you make them wear a helmet, they're like, dang, and then they crash and they go crack and they go, oh, whew, good thing I was wearing that helmet. We're like that. I think us as believers, sometimes we're like, I've accepted Christ, I'm gonna charge hell with a squirt gun, let's go, I don't need anything. It's like, whoa, guy, protect yourself. You need to protect yourself. So the helmet, that's what Paul's talking about, to protect your mind by putting on the helmet of salvation. Now, the salvation that God so graciously gives us will help us in times of temptation and sin, where we feel like the world is crushing us, when we feel like we cannot do it. It will draw us back to God and to his truth, not to ourselves and our own desires. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's God's strength and God's wisdom that will lead us away from that temptation. It's when we take that helmet off, even momentarily, that we allow our mind to be infiltrated with those thoughts and those desires that will lead us away from God. It's such a fantastic verse, and one that if you haven't memorized it, I suggest you do, because it will help you daily in your walk with God. Why do I know? Because it helps me daily in my walk with him. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes, okay, I remember. God will provide a way that I can stand up under it, that I may be able to endure what I'm going through right now. God will provide the way for that to happen. You just have to understand, too, that it's not just in one area. Like, you might be struggling with a temptation in one area, and God will help you to endure that. But it's not just for that area. It's for all the areas. So maybe you're struggling with money and greed, but he'll help with lust. He'll help with power. He'll help with your possessions, and on and on and on and on. It encompasses all the temptation that we face, not just one or whatever we might be going through at that moment. So the helmet will protect your mind and allow you not to wander and be drawn away from God. It only takes one compromise to start that effect. I mean, we hear Casting Crowns sing, it's a slow fade, right? And we hear that song, that's a wonderful song. But that's true, right? Sometimes it's like that, where you take God as a static line, and you take you, and there you are, and there's God, and you're together. And in your life, you make compromises all the time. All the time. Hey, compromise this, I'm going to compromise a little there, I'm going to compromise a little there, it's not too bad. But then we start applying it to our walk with God, and we're like, I'm going to make one little compromise. And that throws you off one degree. Now, when you look at that degree, you look at it and you're like, that's actually not that bad. I mean, when you kind of stand back, those lines almost look like they're the same. It just looks like maybe the line got a little bit thicker. But what happens if you take that one degree and you start extending it outward? It starts getting farther and farther and farther away. Yet, typically, one compromise leads to another, doesn't it? It's not just one. It's one and then another and then another and another. And the next thing you know, it's da-da-da-da-da-toom. And he's going this way, and you're going that way. But God is telling you that you don't have to compromise in your life. When it comes to the walk with him, you don't have to compromise in that. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. It takes faith, it takes trust, it takes letting go of your pride and your wisdom. What are those to you? They're pretty valuable to us for some reason. Our pride and our wisdom, we're like, yes, these things are like gold. And God's like, in my economy, they're worthless. Throw them away because you don't need them. But we hold on to those things. It takes putting on the helmet of salvation and understanding that he's done it all. That he's absolutely done it all. Just like we talked about 2 weeks ago, that your life is not your own. To put on the helmet is to understand that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, that his sacrifice was enough. To acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. He will be the one to take your line, to take your life, and align it back with his. Not under your power or strength, but under his. So the helmet of salvation is an unbelievable piece. It's a gift from God. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to obtain it. It was just given to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Salvation must be our helmet. A good hope of salvation, and listen to this, a scriptural expectation of victory. It will purify your soul and keep it from being defiled by Satan. It will purify your soul to understand you have victory. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, then don't do what I did, which is to sit in that chair and hear Pastor Bill talk about it week after week after week, and he'd ask everyone to lower their heads, and then I would look up and say, which one of you is going to accept Jesus today? I want to see it. I want to see the light shine down from the ceiling. Not understanding that he was speaking to me time and time again. He didn't say my name, but it was like, Paul, accept Jesus. So many times. I want you to wrestle with that decision, to make that decision, to understand salvation is a free gift, to wrestle with your sin, to understand your need for a Savior today, to take that helmet and place it firmly on your head, and to understand that once you're in the hand of Jesus, nobody can take you out. Listen to me carefully. Once saved, always saved. Period. Now you might have heard something different. I'm telling you right now, once saved, always saved. John 10:29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is pertinent to the life of a believer because we have to understand that when Jesus went to the cross, it was enough. When he said, it is finished, he wasn't like, it's finished until you mess up. It's finished until you do that one sin that you think that I hate more than all the others. No. It is finished. Jesus has already won, and the victory is yours. Yet without that salvational peace, it's hard for us to grasp that. Why do I know this? Because I remember trying to grasp it when I wasn't a believer. I'm like, wait a minute. So this doesn't make any sense. But it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it's the power of God. That couldn't be more true. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it at all. So I continued to try to fight the battle in my own power. A battle that I was going to lose because I was fighting it in my own power. And I've developed a defeated mindset and let all those things drag me down instead of focusing on grace, mercy, and the salvation given unto me by God through Jesus Christ. There are many pieces of armor that we've looked at over the past 5 or 6 weeks. We got the belt, defense, the breastplate, defense, shoes, defense, the shield, defense, the helmet, defense, and the sword, offense. It's a weapon. The only one that you'll ever need. The only one that you'll ever need. It's the word of God. Jeremiah 23:29 says this, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces?" I love this. I love reading stuff like this. I'm like, yes, that's right. I get all pumped up when I'm reading it and I'm alone, pumped up by myself. I love stuff like this. God's word is like a fire, a hammer that breaks even the hardest rock into pieces. It's a fire that will refine anything you put in its path, even the most callous and hard human heart. It will take those walls that you've spent years and years building up around your heart, and it will break them down piece by piece. Slowly sometimes, and other times in one fell swoop. God's word is a source for our inspiration and encouragement. It says in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." No matter what happens in our life, we can be assured that God's word will not pass away. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew saying, "Heaven and earth will go away, but my words will remain." This is a stark description to tell you that when everything else is crashing in your life, everything else is going to burn, God's word will remain. Count on that. It will remain. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." All scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? That means when you open your Bible and you read it, it's God speaking directly to you. It's God speaking directly to you. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Why do I know this? Not just because it says and I believe it, which is totally true, but I've used it for the last 4 years with the students here at Grace Community Church to do exactly that, to teach, to correct, to train, and I've used it with you for the last 2 years. It's the only book we ever need, and I use it for myself in my own time to teach, to train, to correct myself. What a wonderful use of the Word of God. My question to you is, what are you using it for today? What are you using it for? Is it a paperweight on your nightstand? Is it one of those books, you guys know those books, that you put in your bookshelf to stop all the other books from falling over, to fill it up? Are you reading it like a story like Harry Potter? Are you understanding that this is God breathed to you? It's the most powerful weapon you have and the only one you'll need to defeat Satan and his attacks against you. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan? What did he use to combat that attack? A sword. Now, did Jesus need to use a sword? Probably not. He probably could be like, get out. No. Why did he use a sword? Maybe to show us that what he used to defeat Satan, we have in our very hands today. To show us, this is what you do. Now you can find the temptation of Jesus in all the Gospels, but I looked in Luke chapter 4, and it Satan is telling Jesus, take that stone. I know you're hungry. Take the stone. Turn it into bread. Jesus is like, man does not live by bread alone. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. And I'm going to quote it. I'm going to pull it up right now for you guys. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What are you living on today? Are you living on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? Are you living on bread? Are you wondering why you're struggling? Are you wondering why you're starving for the things of this world? God's like, let my word feed you daily. Let my word feed you daily. What are you living on today? Because it says, man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So God, quoting God, to defeat Satan. That's my mind exploding. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? And two other times Satan tries to tempt Jesus by offering him authority and glory, number one, that he doesn't even have to give, and second, by misquoting scripture. Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Get out. Done. The word of God is your defense. It's your attack on Satan. I think that's amazing. This book, it's not just a collection of words printed on what I really, truly believe to be the thinnest pages known to man. It's not just a collection of words. It's the inspired, breathed word of the God of the universe to you. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Some of you know this verse very, very well, and you know what it means, but others don't. So allow me to enlighten you a little bit. The words found in here can mean many different things. Now, don't get me wrong. The truth of God's word remains the same. The best way that I can describe it is that it will meet you wherever you are. No matter where you are, it will meet you there. That can be a comforting thought. It should be that wherever you are in your life, the Bible, the truth of the Bible is applicable in any situation that you find yourself in, no matter where that might be. I've heard people say that because it was written thousands of years ago, that it has no relevance today. That is a tired argument. It is a very tired argument. Because if you think about it, the same things that they were going through then, we're going through today, just packaged differently. And I can understand that the Word of God is applicable in any area, in any situation, because it is living and active. It can be exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. Why do I know that? Because it has been. Thank you, Lord, I haven't been through every situation known to man. But the ones that I have been through, it's been exactly what I've needed. So when I hear people question the validity of the Bible for present day times and struggles, it grates on me a little bit. So I end up saying things like, well, you obviously aren't reading it. Or you obviously haven't read it all the way through. Or you're obviously reading it like a story and not as God speaking directly to you. I don't know how you could go through the Bible and read it and not believe that it has relevance to what you're going through today. I don't see that. And it's not just because I'm a pastor and because I'm supposed to say that. No, absolutely not. There's so much wisdom and truth in there, I could never envision a situation that it wouldn't apply to. Furthermore, I can't see the living and acting Word of God not being able to speak wisdom into your life right when you need it. I think it's crazy to think that God, who wants to be intimately involved in your life, would give you His Word that has an expiration date on it. Like He would say, well, you know, you got to use it before Or 1993, you get them intranet coming out, then everything goes haywire. No. It transcends time. It is timeless. It's not going to happen. I refute all ridiculous claims. I will die on that hill, I'm telling you right now. Now there's predestination, free will, okay. That, I'll argue to the end. It says discerning the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, as we know in Jeremiah 17:9, that our hearts are deceitfully wicked all the time. Who can understand it? Thank you, God, for giving me your word that judges the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart and corrects me when I need to be corrected. Because even if I shy away from all of you and I go into my little hobbit hole and I read God's word, he will correct me. Thank you for giving me your word, your life-changing, convicting, inspiring, uplifting, and wisdom-filled word. Isaiah 55:8-11 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." That is an amazing passage, saying that when God's word comes out, it's going to do exactly what it's supposed to. Every time, all the time. It will succeed. The sword of the Spirit, God's asking you to put it in your hand and to wield it with courage and with passion. It was not meant for you to grab it and to set it on your bookshelf or for you to never read it. It was meant for you to use it as a tool to live this life for God. It's a life changer. It's an encourager, an uplifter. There's so much wisdom and truth in here. The pieces of the armor of God are designed to give you protection, to go through this life, protect you, no matter what you find yourself in. Truth, righteousness, preparedness, faith, all the pieces, every single one of them, salvation, the word of God, all to give you to go through this life. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all smooth. I heard this quote once, and it was on a video like a bunch of years ago, but I always remembered it because I thought it was really cool. And it said, "If the mountain was smooth, you'd never be able to climb it." And I was like, man, that's really cool. I'm going to have to remember that. And my students know I've probably said it to them 1,000 times. But sometimes we want that. We want the smooth and easy path. But you know in your heart of hearts where it goes. You know, and you might be able to shield your own eyes, and you might be able to trick yourself for a time, but in your heart of hearts, you know where it leads. God's given you this armor. Put it on. The belt and the breastplate and the shoes and the sword and the shield and the helmet. Put it on and then walk the easy path? No. It's like, I want you to go down that path. You're like, whoa, but wait, there's no way that I can do that on my own. I will fail. And he goes, now you're starting to get it. That the path that leads to me is narrow and it's difficult. But here's the deal, is that every step of the way that I'm going to be with you, I'm just asking you to walk, take every step with faith and trust that I'm going to be there. And when you feel you can't take another step, you have faith and you take another step. And when you feel you don't have the strength, understand you were never using your strength to begin with. Use mine and take another step. You can choose to walk through this life completely exposed down the easy path, like so many other people are doing. You can choose that, but that's not where God wants you. God wants you on the narrow and difficult path. You can push forward arm in arm with him and with other believers with your eyes fixed on Him and eternal things. You were given unbelievable armor and the key on exactly how to use it. You were given this. What are you going to do? Are you going to leave the armor sitting on the stand, all pretty? Are you going to put it on? Are you going to stand firm? Are you going to walk in faith with courage and passion for Him? The choice is yours. Let's pray. God, we just thank You for this time that we could be here. God, we thank You so much for Your word, for all the armor, the pieces of the armor You've given us, God. Give us courage, God, and strength to understand, to live boldly for You, God. Not to shy away from difficult conversations, not to take the easy road, God, to understand that there's going to be peaks and valleys, but that You're refining us. God, through the trials, we can have joy in everything because You're making us who we're destined to be. God, we just thank You so much that You give us these things so that we can have life and have it to the full with You, God. Help us to understand our need for You every single day. God, to take our wisdom and our pride and throw them away. And to God, to lean on You for everything. To consider You in all that we do. We love You and we thank You for this time. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.